Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Time now for the next instalment of our beginner's guide to some of the best music stars of all time. You know the score by now. We take a band, a singer that you think you know, and we make an argument for a deeper dive into their back catalogue. And this week, it's Blondie. Emotions come, I don't know why. Sugar of love, alibi. Call me, otherwise. Call me anytime. Call me, alright. When you're ready, we can chat. Why call me? And here to tell us everything we need to know about Blondie, I'm joined by a legend in her own right. Culture Reardon, musician, former bass player with the Pogues. Can we do something a little bit back to front and begin, not at the beginning, but at the most recent performance in Glastonbury? Debbie Harry, aged 78?
Yeah, well, she'd just been before her birthday in Glastonbury. I'd say her most recent performance, as far as we're concerned here today, was opening for Sting at Malahide Castle a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That passed me by. Did you see that?
No, I give Sting money.
Ooh, that's
Hello, have
shade.
You ever met me?
That's shade.
No, Glass though was amazing because that goes out all over the planet. And the reaction was just like, the same as you were saying. It was just like, wow, she's how old? She's amazing. And she's got the voice still and the face.
But the band was tight as well.
The band's great. Now, Chris Stein, who was her partner forever and one of the songwriters, he's not in the band anymore. But Clem Burke's still there holding down the drums, and the bass player now is the Sex Pistols' original bass player, Glenn Matlock, which is one of the greatest rhythm sections on the planet.
How did that happen? How did somebody go from the Sex Pistols to Blondie?
Well, the thing you have to know about Glenn Matlock is the story they put out at the time, they were firing him because he liked the Beatles and they wanted to get Sid Vicious on, and how did that work out for them? But the real reason Glenn got fired from the Sex Pistols was he was too nice. Glenn just likes people, so he gets along with people. And him and Clem, they just talk music and they just vibe. And when you've got a rhythm section like that and you put Debbie Harry on top, it's just wow.
It's fitting as well, as I suppose we're going to get into in a little bit, that somebody should go from the archetypal punk band to Blondie, that he should have jumped ship. But can we begin with where Blondie started for you? What was the first single you remember?
It was a long time ago. I was 13, 1978, and I listened to the radio all the time when I wasn't in school, obviously. And Denis Denis, which was a track off, I guess, their second album, Blondie's second album. It was very sweet, very sugary, girl bandy sound. It would never have occurred to me they were a downtown New York punk band, but it was gorgeous. It was on the radio all the time. I loved it anyway. And one girl came into school one day and said, Debbie Harry is 30. And we all went, no, she can't be.
So to you, that was ancient, obviously.
Yeah, because grown-ups were 30. Pop stars weren't 30. Pop stars were just 20, 21 at most. So it's hard to get our heads around, and we denied it. But she was very alien. You never saw anybody look like Debbie Harry.
Let's just go down a little bit of an off-road here. Do female musicians feel compelled to tell fibs about their age and make themselves older?
Wow, that's a very interesting point. Chrissy Hynde, who I discovered the year after Debbie Harry appeared on my radar, Chrissy Hynde gave an interview the next year saying, she says, I'm 29, but I just say I'm 30, because saying I'm 29 just makes me sound like a cocktail waitress.
You can be ignored or discounted. Did you ever feel under pressure to do that?
No, I mean, I started so young. You know, I was a teenager. I was the youngest in the Pogues, and I would lie about my age so I could get served in pubs.
Not so that you'd be taken seriously.
Yeah,
the
idea of trying to be younger than you were was just absolutely unimaginable.
Anyway, sorry, I've jumped sequence all over the place here. Let us just briefly remind ourselves. Denis Denis.
Oh, Denis, be
from the second album, Plastic Letters, as you say. And he really kind of, it seems so stupid now, it really ticked an awful lot of people off that they weren't able to pigeonhole Blondie.
That was nothing. The next year when they put out their third album, they recorded it with Mike Chapman, who was the sound of my childhood. He was the guy who produced Susie Quattro, Sweet, all those cool glam rock bands, Smokey, bands like that. He went in the studio with them and they produced Heart of Glass, and they were the first rock band to make a disco record. And this was when there was an actual disco sucks movement. People reacted to disco so badly.
Well, sorry, the rock crowd reacted to disco so badly, didn't they?
Well, rock was the sound of America, as far as white America were concerned. And there was a racial element to trying to put down disco. Nile Rodgers writes about this very, very intelligently and forthrightly in all his, whenever he tells the story of his life. So it was kind of brave of Blondie, brave or stupid. But the month before they went in the studio, they'd done a punk rock benefit for a punk rock drummer, and all the downtown CBGB's bands went in and did a number. Blondie walked on stage and they did I Feel Love by Donna Summer
to troll the crowd,
just to say, listen, you don't own us, because they were already, Blondie had become big stars in the UK. I was seeing them on Top of the Pops every other week. They were on the radio constantly, and America hadn't really caught on yet, and their scene was very the howls of betrayal. Really, like, how can you do this to us? How can you betray the downtown scene? And they were like, see ya.
And look at the results. I mean, it doesn't really matter now, with the benefit of hindsight, whether it is disco, whether it is punk, or whether it is rock or whatever, because that's what you have is just pure pop.
It's the Duke Ellington motto, is like, there's two kinds of music. There's good and bad. Is it good? Yeah, it's good.
So Parallel Lines is, of course, the big, big, big breakthrough album.
Yeah.
Let us, and every single one of the singles a hit. But let's just start. I think it's the first track on that album. I'm in the phone book. Now, that album is more than 40 years old, but off the top of your head, you can name and you will know instantly at least five of the singles off it.
Yeah, like that was track one, side one, and that still sounds pretty punky to me and amazing, but Sunday Girl was a lovely, gentle, sweet summer hit off it. The big one was Heart of Glass, number one everywhere, and the real breakthrough point for them. It just made them mega
stars. But not to forget One Way or Another.
Yeah.
And Picture This.
Yeah.
Each and every single one of them an absolute banger.
She's an amazing songwriter. People forget she's cursed with one of the most iconic faces in the history of recorded media. But there you go. She's a great songwriter as well.
And this is where we get to that kind of confusing thing. Is Blondie Debbie Harry? Is Blondie the band? And people never really disentangled the two completely, did they?
Yeah, well, there's the two levels, isn't there? There's the level of, like, music fans, people who would read the music papers and really get into it. And I remember reading about this movement, Blondie is a band, like the band would refuse to do interviews if they only wanted to talk to Debbie. They made badges, Blondie is a band. And
she did this as well. I mean,
Of course she did. She was mortified. She didn't need all that pressure on her. She was trying to be a creative artist in a creative team, and just all this amazing, intense laser focus.
Did she ever speak about how she felt about her looks and whether they undermined people's appreciation?
She put out her autobiography a few years ago, and she literally called it Face It, about how it's dominated her life and she has to deal with it. And she got plastic surgery and she was super open about it. And she said, I want to stay in the game. It just makes life that much easier than not doing it.
Okay, so she felt, even after everything that had happened throughout the 70s and 80s, she felt, I need to keep my face in some kind of good shape.
She took a really long break. She looked after Chris. Chris had an autoimmune disease, and she looked after him for years, something like 17 years. And then she came back in 1999 with Maria, which was another mega hint. She looked amazing, and she just said she just wanted to be in the, I love that phrase, to be in the game. And for her, that involved tightening up her face and just accepting it, make peace with it.
We're getting ahead of ourselves again.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go back to Parallel Lines, back to that point of the backlash against disco, and they release this. I love talking to you, but I also love listening to that. I wanted all of us, let us play us out today. There's something else that we really need to get in the short amount of time that we have left here, and that is in that kind of constant genre-defying role that they set themselves. She brought rap to the mainstream, didn't she?
That is their ultimate contribution to the culture in 1980 on, I guess it was their fifth album, Auto American. They had a track called Rapture, and it was the first ever rap single to chart, which is amazing. And years later, Chris Stein said, "You met the Wu-Tang Clan?" And two of the lads said the first rap record they ever heard was Rapture by Blondie, because Fab Five Freddy had taken them uptown. They were the downtown band, Blondie, and he took them uptown to the Blonde. They discovered a whole new world. And, you know, Debbie Harry is a creative artist. She was inspired, and she just created this amazing, powerful track out of it.
What an artist, though. What a performer. When, look, let's face it, when an awful lot of white people do rap, your toes start to curl. But she pulls it off in this number with such style. It just works, doesn't it? So, in summary, go start with Parallel Lines, perhaps?
Definitely, that's the best starting point. And you don't stop your punk rock, like the poet said. Just keep it going. Follow the threads. You can go down their Kraftwerk electro disco. You can go down their punk rock. You can go down their attempts at rap and reggae.
So much, isn't there? Couturin, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That is all from today's programme. That's all from me. Claire's going to be back with you from tomorrow. I'm disappearing for a few months now to make a couple of TV documentaries. But can I say that Ella McSweeney is going to be staying doing Countrywide in my absence. She's sounding absolutely brilliant, a little bit too well for my liking, but please do tune in on Saturday mornings. Today's programme was produced by Deirdre Neeline, researcher Emma Cawley, broadcast coordinator Jarlath Holland, and on sound Mark Dwyer. Now, just after 12 o'clock, here's Louise Duffy.